little cuss. She doing here? She came with me. She's with me.
I carried a watermelon.
Now roll this way.
Love man, that's all I am, man.
Now what?
I'm just a love man. Ooh, baby, call me love man.
So, and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast.
This is Andrew. Damien. Fuck Andrew. Son of a bitch.
This is the first one since I'm back.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were supposed to record one before Tiff, but that didn't quite happen.
No, I wonder why. I wonder why. By the way, you haven't heard, but this is Douglas.
Oh, right.
I am anonymous because, you know, my name doesn't matter. Right.
Well, you were deported from another country, so we can't legally call you.
So hi, Douglas. We went to Tiff.
Yes, we did.
Right. I knew I should not come to this podcast.
Oh,
that's right,
Andrew.
That's right.
We went
fuck
to
both you guys.
We went to Toronto,
right?
And we watched international
films at a festival. Right? And you ate maple syrup,
yes, we did,
and some other racist Canadian stereotypes, and saw Mounties, etc., etc.
We didn't see any Mounties.
No shit.
Eh?
Oh, you didn't see any Mounties in the middle of a city? Wow, Andrew. Thank you. You racist bastard.
You know what I did watch, though? We saw movies.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
They were good.
Thanks.
Yes.
Not all of them. I heard those podcasts. I didn't really hear the podcast more that I listened to the scrapings of plates and forks and made inferences based on how much knife scraping I heard. Here, listening to you guys smile on a podcast at 8 o'clock in the morning. I can hear the grinning on both your faces.
Yep. Like, it was funny because last year I was the only one who went,
bitches.
And you guys just repeatedly told me to be quiet.
Like, yes.
You guys were together in your hatred of me for having gone to this film festival.
But
and
no,
seen all these movies.
The tables have turned. The majority of the thump has actually.
That is not how table turning works, Douglas. The tables would have turned if it were happening to both me and you. But it is not.
I know.
What
I
the
know.
Table is has turned over. It's what the table is. It
all
is
right,
now
the table,
crooked.
The table was slightly adjusted.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, guys, so we're back. We're not watching 6 movies a day, which feels wrong.
It really does. Is it sad that before I was so afraid about these 5 and 4 movie days, but after them, and I had a 1 movie day or a 3 movie day, I'd be like, why am I not watching more movies?
Damien shakes his head at us.
I'm just
while he's playing with his
I'm
Lexus.
Just going to ignore you guys. This is my plan for the rest of this month.
Anyways, I guess we can move on. This week, I wanted us to talk about Harmony and Korine's Spring Break.
Some kids, they want to grow up be president. Some kids want to be a doctor. You know, I just wanted to be bad.
Let's just get that fucking cash and go on spring break.
They kicked me out of school. I thought that was great.
Hey, motherfucker! Give me all your money now!
Shit, that was the best thing in the world.
Spring break, bitches.
I'm about making money.
I already know that you two guys lie on this spectrum. I want you guys to kick this off because this is a movie about a group of young adults. I won't say teenagers because they're in college and all sorts of nefarious things. Who decide they want to go on spring break. They rob a
liquor store.
Not a liquor store, it was a diner. And they rob a diner in order to get the money to go on spring break. And then eventually they get arrested, and then they meet Alien, this guy played by James Franco. And then the movie follows. Douglas, you saw this for the first time last night. I don't know if Damon had seen this before I picked it or not.
I saw this the second I got an opportunity to see it. So, as I was anxiously anticipating, giving this movie an abysmal score.
This is a movie on my list.
Yep.
So Douglas, tell me how this movie gets a one. Because I know that's the only part of the discussion that matters right now.
Andrew.
Wow.
Because I watched it. By its mere existence, did it only... Andrew, this movie is horrendous. This movie is horrible. Andrew, why did you make me watch this? You see, I was willing to allow you to take the four... out of four of $2 million.
But it was around
$18. The $16 that you made.
Exactly. But since you forced me to watch this, you know that is not occurring. You are getting a 1 out of 4 from myself, and I am sure Damien.
Mm-mm.
Sorry?
Mm-mm.
Wait, have you gone?
Don't lump me in. No, the days of solidarity are over. You don't speak for Damien anymore. Right? You left me here to suffer by myself while you jetted off to some fantasy land where they show movies all day.
Hey, listen, Damien. I'm pretty sure
It
wasn't me that said, you know what, I should go back to school and use all of my money on that instead of going to TIFF.
Douglas, sure. All right, fine. I've made bad decisions. Right? But you still abandoned me. That is a fact.
Listen.
Mm-hmm.
I got to see Richard Ayoade up close and personal.
Do stand-up pretty much.
They essentially do two sets of stand-up comedy. So, I'm fine with that.
Oh. Right. You saw, before you said that, you seem kind of, you know, sad to have left me. If you didn't say that a while ago, I'd have... But now that you said it, thanks.
I think it was even better that we saw each other for the day before, where we could be like, bye, Damien. But anyways, Douglas, you were going on about your undying love.
The thing about this movie, Andrew.
The quality.
The thing about this movie is I have nothing intelligent to say. Right? I have a lot of curse words I'd like to say. But
you can say those. We allow that on the podcast.
Andrew, this movie, it just... okay, so... let's run down a list, right? There's acting. sorry.
It's going to be a train wreck.
There is no acting in this movie.
You're not even attempting.
This movie is just poor all round, right? So the movie is, it's kind of pieced together, but again, poorly. The movie goes all over the place. And sure, I understand this person wanted to be indie. They wanted to look at their movie and say, you know what? I'm not just moving it forward from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to show scenes from
I am an
5 minutes ago, plus 5 minutes from now, mm-hmm. plus the now, then all over again. No, Andrew, no. Maybe it could have worked with a better movie, but that better movie just was not there. And I really don't want to talk about this anymore. This movie is just bad. James Franco, while for some reason I do like him. I think I like him because I've seen him in comedies. Unfortunately, this was not a comedy, and he was not trying. Well, maybe he was trying, but he was not funny
not in successful.
This movie. Not successful. He has been more successful. I thankfully got the proverbial mouthwash or what's that thing like the sorbet you get to go in between
palate cleanser.
Thank you. With I watched alongside Andrew the first episode of Mindy Project, which apparently stars James Franco, and guess what? He's pretty funny. That's the James Franco that I love. That's a James Franco I will watch.
Simon, Pineapple Express 2.
Yes.
And the exorcism of what is
Pineapple Express. Did you say Pineapple Express 2?
Yeah, Pineapple
Part
Express
2.
Part
did you
two.
Watch the This Is the End yet?
Oh, that's what you mean. Okay. I haven't seen this.
They had the exorcism bit with
Jonah Hill.
The exorcism of Jonah Hill.
That movie, guys.
I don't know what movie that is.
It's the same movie. You have to watch that movie.
Of course, I have to watch that movie.
It's terrific.
But yes, this movie, poor Damien.
Yes.
Do you have anything more to say than fuck this movie?
Sure. While I do not, I really do not like this movie. 30 minutes into the movie, I was convinced that this was essentially a train wreck. It was going to be the worst thing that had been committed to film for time and all eternity. But then James Franco showed up with gold teeth and went, all right, I saw this in the trailer. This looks real dumb. Let's see how dumb. And guys, it gets dumb. But it is a type of dumb I appreciate.
Oh,
No. Let me be clear. Douglas Robinson. This movie is abysmal. It is not good. And it is also not the... It's not a situation where I'm going to go, oh, it is abysmal, but everyone should watch... No one should watch this movie. Nobody. What James Franco did was essentially save the movie from being the worst thing ever. And so I could watch it and go, all right, maybe it starts because he was in the movie and because he was so weird, it made me question whether or not, you know, if the reason I didn't like every 15 minutes for just 3-5 minutes of dubstep just be blaring in my face with nothing tying it to, was that because I am an old man? Because there's parts of this movie that I like, namely James Franco. So if I take away all the unnecessary nonsense,
you mean the movie?
Is there a movie there that I like? The answer is no. Wait.
Okay, alright.
Is there a movie there that I like? The answer is no. If we follow the, let's call it a script from start to end. None of this makes sense. This is so dumb. Alright. So, let's, instead of me trying to essentially find the positives, let me subtract the negatives and see if there's anything left. Right? So we take out the dubstep. We're subtracting the, again in quotes, acting and script out of it. Because, especially from those girls. Holy shit. And then what I'm left with is James Franco in tattoos playing a Grand Theft Auto character. And he entertained me. Enough so that while I don't recommend anyone ever see this movie, I won't give it a one. But I can't hold it. Wait. But I cannot in good conscience give it a 2. So it is now stuck in this nebulous zone. Because this movie, a good 2 means okay, this movie isn't. 1 means atrocious. And while the movie is terrible, I wouldn't call it a...
Don't worry, Damon. When I'm done, you'll give it a 1.
There's...
Out of sheer hatred for me. All right,
there's a point where James Franco is exposing the virtues of how much stuff he has. And if you watch that...
Look at all my shit.
And don't smile. There's something wrong with you. It is beautiful.
Repeat.
Well, you see,
he has,
you know,
knives.
This, all right, hold on, let me tell you. Let me tell you what happened, right? I'm sure I would have.
Right.
if there was not an hour of movie before that.
Right. Douglas, you saw that section, right? And you're saying you might have enjoyed it, but for, and then you were cut off.
Yes, but for the hour of movie that was before it. Yeah, because you see,
but
you
Douglas,
see,
we knew that was going to happen. We saw the trailer.
They started it out with James Franco saying,
Douglas,
"I am a crazy person." Then you know, maybe I could have enjoyed that along
remember
the lines
when we saw
of
the trailer.
But
remember when we saw
no,
the trailer
I
for
understand.
This movie and we went, "This is going to be horrendous."
Yes.
And this lunatic was jumping up and down like a crazy person.
Dumpstep.
We knew what we were walking into.
Yeah, but listen.
So you should
you
have
know,
had an expectation.
Stop. So hold on. If
that
I have
garbage,
an expectation
mm-hmm.
and I know that this is garbage, and then I get the garbage.
Then you look for the rules.
No. If I know it's garbage, uh-huh. then I get garbage.
Right.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to think it's garbage.
And you have every right to believe so, Douglas. And I'm not disagreeing with you, but because we, Douglas, I knew this movie was going to be good. I looked at the list. It had none of the ticks. It's just trash. And so, of course, I went in going, there might be something good here. And I, you know, there was a search to find it, and I found it. James Franco is terrific. Not in the sense of me in good movies, because it is, oh, God. This movie isn't. It just isn't. But watching James Franco be gangster James Franco for the 30 or so minutes, sure.
You all right, Damien?
It's
okay. It's
so dumb.
You can cry. It's all right.
Oh, God.
So, Andrew.
Okay. This is spoilers, so you can't tell this out. Douglas, at the end of the movie, when James Franco is walking up the platform to go to the house, right?
Yeah.
So whoever wrote or directed this movie understood that James Franco was just in there to amuse people who shouldn't be watching this movie. Just dubstep and naked teenagers. So what the this movie's what the fuck is happening? And then James Franco. And then movie ended poorly, of course. And
did you like how every line in this movie was repeated
19
times?
Of course.
Yeah.
It was my
really
absolute.
That
is what
Hungry
I love most
forever.
About movies. When someone says a thing that has no bearing to all of the things I've seen previously in the movie, and the director says, you know, I need to drive home this point.
Yeah.
Spring Break is for. Look at all my stuff. Spring Break is forever. Look at all this stuff. So, Andrew Robinson.
So, you guys can tune out now, right?
Now, I want to hear what you...
So, I'm going to do the opposite to what you guys said.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, let me start with,
mm-hmm.
this isn't a perfect movie, right? I don't think this is a 4, right? I'm not going there. I'm not going that far. I like this movie a lot, right? And it comes from two different places.
Mm-hmm. Heroin.
and cocaine. And weed.
Lots of copious amounts of weed.
If only.
Heroin use.
There is one thing that I like about seeing movies like this is the visual nature of them. And this isn't me staring at girls' tits, because there aren't that many of them in this movie. That you can kind of point at and go like, oh, more tits. Like, that's what I need in a movie. No. It's just, like, the things like, for example, throughout the movie, they repeat this shot of, like, this typical MTV Spring Break shot of all of the children jumping up and down, the alcohol, the stuff. And they kind of cut that in between all of the madness that's going on with these girls and Alien as we're going on throughout the movie.
Yeah.
And it kind of just cemented the idea of how ridiculous Spring Break as a thing is. Like, it's one thing for us to have this big party that people go to every year. It's another thing for this monopolized version of this party, which we've kind of blown out of proportion over how many years has MTV been doing this? Like 20 years, 30 years, I don't know. where I no longer believe it's an actual party. I start to believe it's more of a television reality show that we're seeing. If people actually still watch that, I don't know. And I like it so much for that. I love all of the bits with James Franco when he's with all of these girls, where he's just going like, where he's giving us this ridiculous version of this world. Even when they first come out of jail and they take them to that pool bar, where you can see the discomfort that anyone would have there if they're not really supposed to be there or belonging to there. And you see, of course, obviously through the one person who actually voices their discomfort, Selena Gomez's character.
Sure.
Oh, that's Disney chick?
Yeah. That was like a big thing about this movie, which everyone was kind of going, like, little teenagers going, holy shit, I might see Selena Gomez's tits. I don't know. Like, if
you have the internet.
It's there, sure. Yeah, I know. It's crazy. And stuff like that. And I loved it for that visual nature that this movie was. On a second level, I kind of like how people have turned to intellectualizing this film. Right? And this is where you guys will start to laugh.
What?
As it being like...
I'm coming off this. Can you discredit me from the internet as well so I'd never have to see this?
Where people, and I kind of agree with them watching this movie, where it's kind of a modern day discussion of religion and faith and the need for faith in life.
What is he talking about? What? This film. Where a solid 30 minutes of this film is dubstep. This film.
This film does not say anything. Anyway, please continue with
your argument.
No,
it says, about religion, it says, look, if you go on spring break and a strange man takes you to a strange place, see that you feel uncomfortable,
jump the fuck out,
and jump on a bus and go home.
Mm-hmm.
You're better than everyone else.
But yeah, so please continue this argument.
Right.
I would like
as it
to
said
really
in
hear.
Genesis chapter 2 and verse 3. And low.
like people, like I, when you watch the beginning of this film, and this is in the first like 10 minutes or so, you see Selena Gomez's character is the only one who's like religious about anything. You see her at church, you see her
yes, in the most heavy-handed manner.
In the most heavy-handed
imaginable.
But not just that,
because
right?
Because this movie is
the worst thing, right, is that, so you see the whole church thing,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's into it except her.
No.
She looked like she was enjoying
church. She was not in the, like every once in a while
sitting
she'd raise a hand.
Shit.
Like, you know, she'd kind of sing and be like,
no joy whatsoever.
No, she was not into that.
I mean, you even hear like the thing that the guy is talking about in church and talking about temptation and such. I think Damon is just done listening to me at this point. and then as we move on through this movie, we eventually meet Alien, and I can't remember his name right now. The other gangster which we see in the movie.
Oh. Best friend.
The best friend, right. That turned out to betray or whatever.
What?
I know. And like you can kind of see them as somewhat devil and demons and angels setups, where while none of them are good, right, you can see that the lifestyle that Alien is proposing and the way that he's tempting these women, he becomes a demon in this situation. The other one, we're not sure as to where he really falls. Although,
you're not sure?
You know, throughout movies we have this sense of the noble villain, right?
Uh-huh.
Right, you have the Robin Hood character who is just kind of, he does bad shit, but only if you look at it from a certain perspective. He looks at it to a good ends. And we don't really know that about this other character. He attacked Alien and his girls who were all robbing all of his places. So, I mean, it's not the same as Alien who's going out and just doing bad shit everywhere. Right? Damon is like staring into me.
No, I'm looking at the... I'm looking past it. Looking at movies that I'd prefer to be talking about.
And I like it for that idea. I'm not saying that it pulls off that idea perfectly or with any sense of subtlety, but I like it for the sense that idea is somewhere there and I kind of drew on it. I forgot to mention, one of my favorite points in this movie is, and it kind of comes with what my top five was, the Britney Spears song, which they sing in the movie when he's at the piano, and the montage that they have with them like robbing all the places, it like, I don't know, it just kind of hit me as like a visual moment that I loved in this movie. including when
it hit you, baby.
Yes, it hit me, baby.
One more time.
Yes, I wish I could watch it again so it could hit me one more time.
Okay.
And there's even the moment where they're describing the robbery that they did earlier, and you kind of see them cut between her shouting at Selena Gomez and the other girls, and cutting back to inside the robbery, which we didn't really see previously. We were like outside, just kind of watching it happen, and I really liked how that was filmed. I haven't seen any other Korean films. I know of one other, but just based alone, like, it sounds so indie crazy that I don't know if I want to watch it. But yeah, I'm sorry you guys didn't like this movie. I thought it would be
I thought at the very least it would be
like an interesting conversation.
We told you when that trailer came out that this movie was going to be bad.
Damien, he just tried to argue that this movie was a metaphor for heaven and hell.
Right. Using some of the most despicable people known to man, and the most heavy-handed, this girl is into religion, so of course she won't be into any of this shit. So alright, fine. I'm going to give him both those ridiculous ideas, and I'm going to counter them with little things that happen in the movie. Like the other girl being shot and going home. What was her motivation? Was that the Lord... So God, because he's a good gangster, shot her, but didn't kill her. So the good gangster got her to go home. Is that how that works?
I think.
And then when the other two girls kill everybody
in the end,
and then go home,
that's God's
way. Did they really go to hell instead?
No,
I don't understand.
God left his son there, as a sacrifice.
Because they could go there.
Right, it's like the Bible says. And lo, if you shoot my messenger, you will get into heaven.
Right? You guys not digging the Britney Spears?
Mark 2. No! What? Are you high and drunk? I understand they thought it would be clever to have this Britney Spears song just opposed to what everyone's idea of Spring Break is. And they pick some so shitty song to have violence, right? They did the Tarantino thing, which it is cute, but it is also terrible. A, because the song he chose is horrendous. And B, because all of that sequence is unnecessary. For like, what have we learned now that we've seen that montage? What is that montage in aid of? Nothing. Nothing.
It's just
there to show that James Franco is a lunatic. Which, alright guys, fine.
We're alright with GTA James Franco, right?
Fine. GTA Franco is terrific.
So we had Disco Santa Claus Franco.
Right.
Franco.
And the entire time, that is what was in my head. I go, all right, does this James Franco grow up to be Disco Santa? And no, he got shot. It was a James Franco, you know, world for all his movies. Andrew, this movie is bad. Like, it is aggressive how not good it is. But I enjoy James Franco.
I'm giving this movie a 3.
I told you my number.
So if I give it a 2, it will average a 2, so you're getting 1.
Thank you.
Because there's no...
It still reaches a 2, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
5 over 3.
5 divided by 3 is how much, Andrew?
1.6, which ups to 2.
Mm-hmm. That's not how all things goes. I'm very sorry, we have to tell it like this. Doesn't
yes,
work.
I've been begging for that, and to this day, Damien, we agreed on that. I can bring up recordings where we said that.
That is not how the algorithm works. I put 3 1 on 1, the average is 1.
Oh, shit. It's the questions. Last time we recorded,
19 years ago.
I told my story of going to the wrong theater.
Mm-hmm. Criminals. Criminals.
And I was asking people if they had similar tales, and only one person came back to me with anything close to what happened to me.
Yes, because most people are honest and not filthy criminals.
And this accidental theater hopping, and it was Ryan McNeil from
course.
The matinee.
Of course.
And he came with a nice story.
Speaking of dirty criminals.
He sent me an email, and I quote, a year or so after Lindsay and I got together, we were going to see Bad Santa. Great movie, right, guys?
I love that movie.
Like, can we all agree?
Horrible.
Go away. So good. It's so good.
So they were going to see Bad Santa, and we got our tickets. She went to the ladies' room, and I went to get seats. As showtimes got closer and closer, I began to wonder if she was okay. The lights went down, and I started thinking, maybe she got held up at the snack bar. One or two trailers later, as the studio logos started coming up, I thought, oh well, I guess she's missing the start. Then an image of Scarlett Johansson's ass appears. It occurred to me, I'm seeing Lost in Translation again, and I'm in the wrong theater. I made it to Bad Santa, the theater with Bad Santa, in time, where Lindsay was sitting and wondering where the hell I had disappeared to. So, I'm not the only one who's an idiot and walks into the wrong theater starting a movie.
That was fantastic.
My question to you guys is, if you're going to, as much as we love Bad Santa, or Douglas Mignon, if we're going to watch Bad Santa, and suddenly we see Scarlett Johansson's ass appear on the screen, do we go anywhere? Are we staying?
No,
we
we're staying. No,
I have to be sure what movie it is, because she's coming some really terrible.
Yes, this is true.
Some god-awful things.
Well, I'd assume the fact that you could pinpoint her ass means you know what movie you're sitting in.
What if it's one of our new movies? Let's not say like our old movie.
I hear
like
the
she's
alien
in a new movie.
Interesting.
And what alien movie? Oh,
alien,
right, yeah, no,
the
I saw the trailer for that. Right, so I'll go in.
That was
Tiff,
by the way.
Thanks. you want me to leave? I can't leave. No, we don't have to do this.
I didn't watch that one though.
Oh, I feel better now.
Just not that one.
Just 80 other movies.
No, only 35.
Oh, okay. We're going to continue doing this?
Yes.
Okay.
I haven't done anything.
This is just to let you know, this is going to keep happening until you go next year.
I realize. Which is why I'm announcing my retirement from this podcast. At the end of this podcast. I need to focus on my family. Right, so my children have been trying to learn English. It's not about money. I'm not moving to a rival podcast, a rival podcast network. Oh, I need some personal time.
Wait, what's this? Hold on. Oh, what? So somebody sent me an email thinking that I'm you. Who? What is this podcast under the radar?
Right.
Don't tell Andrew or Douglas. What is this email about?
First of all, that was a joke. No, I'm not moving to Twitch. Laporte did not contact me. Staying right here. Just not right here.
Nice.
Like, we don't have good movie facilities.
Yeah.
And so this will never ever happen. Because when we leave to go to the movies, we know exactly. Like, there's no mistakes happening. Because we'll joke around and end up in, like, a Tyler Perry movie, and then we'll have to kill ourselves.
So moving on. He saw, standard procedure that people would be able to use their phones and whatever as much as they please in a press and industry screening.
Mm-hmm.
And Billington was sitting in the back or whatever, and he noticed someone using his phone to take snapshots of the screen. And being annoyed by what we hate in movies, which is seeing people use their phones, he decided to call 911 whilst in the theater, saying someone is committing piracy. And this became a big thing. Like, he posted it on his site, and then everyone kind of picked it up. There was an interview on Huffington Post, all of these things. And I'm not quite sure as to whether people have made him understand as to how wrong a decision he made in what he was doing. But I'm kind of curious about, like, piracy. Like, we've talked about piracy on a level of, on a user level of people consuming pirated material.
User level.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Not
so
the
much
supply side.
David, you all right?
Not on an industrial level. You know, the industrial parity here.
There was even discussions a couple months earlier about people talking about, like, theories of saying, like, why not have cell phone okay screenings of movies where people can pay and they go into a screening where they know everyone is fine with using their phones as opposed to going to...
Because that would lead to chaos. That's why...
So...
Where are you?
I'm kind of curious as to what everybody's procedure is to seeing people using their phones in the theaters. Like, if you see someone beside you whip out their phone, who is a complete stranger to you, it's not like your friend you brought. Mm-hmm. Like, what is it that you generally do?
Well, I carry various tools with me whenever I go to a movie. One of which, well, it depends on how catastrophic the infringement is. But I'll just tell you one method that I use. I have a big bag, like a, not big, but, you know, it holds everything that I require. And one of the things that I have in there is actually a plastic bag. This is for when, you know, it's the person in front of me, which happens actually more often than not. And so if I feel that they have done enough injustice, I will simply take out that plastic bag
and administer
open
it
up and administer it. Right. Thank you. Yes. Put it over his head until I don't feel, you know, any give anymore.
Until he has.
And then,
you know, no real urge to use the phone anymore.
my question to you before you finish the story is, how many people have you killed so far?
Killed is
where did you bury them?
No one said anything about killing anybody. All
right. Listen, I put people to sleep.
Right.
If they don't wake up, that's not my problem. Okay.
Have you ever see that
an indefinite set
Batman
of time
sketch on Funny or Die?
No.
Okay.
No.
You should watch that.
Since I have no intentions of going back to Caribou again.
Yeah, so you say. You keep this is like at least time number
25. No, the first time I stuck to my guns, I said if it wasn't in HD, I was never going back. And you guys had to confirm that all the movies were in HD. And I said, all right, fine. But after this, I spent a lot of money this summer there, and every single movie, there was an issue. And I'm not just talking about the issues that I come to expect from Carib. They come up with new and fantastic ways to annoy the shit out of me. And after watching Pacific Rim, I went, you know what?
The 4x3 Pacific
right.
Rim?
Right. I say, you know what, Carib? All right. you win. All right. You've broken my will to come and watch movies in your establishment. Elysium came out, and I wanted to watch Elysium more than almost any other. It was Man of Steel and Elysium. And I still haven't seen Elysium because I decided I'm not going back to Carib. But I was thinking about getting a taser, like one of the taser guns, to just straight up
people with them phones.
Right, just because, especially in Jamaica, where I guess this is true all over the world, everyone wants everybody else to see their phone. And so, because the phone is an accessory, they want everyone to know that they have a phone. But once the movie starts, you'd think, oh, I paid some money to come and watch this movie. Let me pretend to watch. But nope, they're just 15 minutes into the movie. And they wouldn't even have the decency to put it down in their lap where maybe the people next to you can see it. But the whole theater, no, they're just
up
to them face. And, what the fuck is that? Right? You're throwing popcorn at them, nobody cares. What in God's name is happening? There's no ushers. They don't care. And so, I mean, there's times I wish I could administer Douglas's method, his plastic bag aided method. But I think, you know, a taser, or I should just get real serious, get a trench coat and a machete and just threat. Just at the start of the movie, just walk up to the screen and go, yo. And just draw the machete.
So it would be like
it's not gonna work.
It's like R100.
If I see one phone, you're losing both the phone and the hand that the phone is in. And then just go on.
So, Andrew, I think on a side note, you have to tell the R100 story.
What the intro?
The intro.
Should I tell the Green Inferno one instead?
Well, I don't know what the Green Inferno.
Bobcat Goldthwait was at the Green Inferno screen, and before the showing, he came out like he has nothing to do with that movie. He came out in the midnight showing, and they wanted to do like a anti-phone thing,
mm-hmm.
where he came up and he was like, "All right, guys, I want you guys to realize that this is a movie and everyone loves it, but you guys, your phones fucking suck, right?" And he was like, "Anyone I see with a phone," like he pulled out a hammer out of his back pocket, "we just take your phone and crush it." And he goes to this guy in the front row, I'm guessing it's a plant, and just grabs his phone away from him and just smashes it on the stage in front of everybody. And he's like, "Stop using your fucking phones, people," and walked off. And they did something like that for almost all of the Midnight movies,
yeah.
especially the later half. They did one with like a dominatrix
I like
on
the
stage.
Movies. That was awesome. That movie was not as awesome, but that intro was fantastic. And it got me keyed up enough to like that movie. Shit, I was about to ask something. Oh, yes, this is a very stupid question, and the time has probably passed, but anyway, was Bobcat actually speaking normally, or was he speaking
in his
Bobcat voice? Because, you know,
normal.
He has like a mm-hmm. special Bobcat
yes.
voice that he used to use.
Which he hasn't used forever.
Yeah, I know.
But he should.
And he's talked about it and made jokes where people come to him and
it's
say, "Were you on drugs?"
It's like,
"No, it was a it's
the voice that I know him every
exactly.
time.
Can I used
hear
to think,
not
yeah,
use that voice.
I honestly
not
used to
him.
Think that's how he spoke. And then I saw him one day, because, you know, he got old at some point.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? I'm done with childish things. And I was like, wait, what? You can speak normal?
No. Who taught you that?
Yeah.
Stop it. You're ruining my youth.
So yeah, if anyone's already forgotten, the question is, what's your process upon seeing people using their phones in the theater? Do you antagonize them? Do you
look
confront?
Anyone who's listening
to this? Do you
hide
in a corner and go?
Anyone
and
who's listening to this podcast is a nerd. And so, absolutely not. Don't confront shit. Not even with either leave the theater, which most of us won't do because we already spent our money. I would just sit there and be annoyed. There's only been one time that I actually got into like a semi-confrontation with somebody.
I've had arguments with people, yeah.
All right. This girl, of course, was on her phone. I asked her, "Yo, the movie are gone, just keep your phone." And her boyfriend, who thought, I guess he was trying to impress her, got up and was like, "You can't talk to my girlfriend." Like, but he's like 5 foot. What the fuck, dog? Like a foot on you, I'd kill you. Just sit down. And he went off and called the usher, but he, like, ushers in charge do the shit.
No,
like,
they don't.
They didn't even come and say anything to me. I just sat down and she moved one chair over and stopped using her phone. None of this matters. I probably won't be watching any movies at anything close to Carib until like 2015. Maybe when Batman Superman comes out. Like, alright,
you'll do it just once.
Alright,
just once.
And that Chris Nolan movie doesn't come out
which
Interstellar.
One is
Interstellar
okay.
is 2015 as well, right?
Somewhere like there, I don't know.
Right, so Chris Nolan and Zack Snyder are not making anything.
By that time we might be able to get like straight streams to
right.
our houses, so
hopefully.
Yeah.
Dark as shame, darling, dark as shame. Thank you for all the joy and pain. Picture show.
This is a new little segment I want to introduce into the show. It's called Pitch Me. I can't think of a better name because I'm bad at naming things. Look, my site's named G-Man Reviews. I'm bad at it. The idea of this game is that Douglas and I will come every week with one movie in mind that we are going to attempt to pitch Damien that he should watch it. And these are the baseline rules. You're only going to be given 45 seconds to do your pitch. You are not allowed, or I shouldn't say not allowed, you will be disqualified if the movie you're pitching is a movie Damien has seen. Because we're going to reveal the movie that we're pitching, like, at the end. And your point will be disqualified. And you are,
oh yeah, right.
And you have to have seen the movie that you are pitching. That was in the email. Are you going to?
Yeah, that was in the email.
But I didn't.
That happened. Yep.
I didn't see that.
Yep. He's narrowing it down. Whittling it away.
And at the end of the game, Damien will decide Andrew or Douglas, mm-hmm. and then we'll reveal the movie and we'll either disqualify someone or laugh ridiculously at what movie we've gamed Damien into thinking he wants to watch. Right? So to give an example as to how this would go, I would come to Damien and I would say, Damien, what if I told you there was a movie mm-hmm. in which there was a man who ended up getting glass in his feet while walking around a tower warding off robbers throughout mm-hmm. an entire night? And Damien might tell me, Andrew, I think I want to watch that movie.
Right.
And I'd say, Damien, you might just want to go and watch Die Hard.
Ah.
And so it goes. So I think I've appropriately explained everything mm-hmm. at this point to everyone. So I'm going to ask Douglas to start off.
No, you
since said. since I just did the explanation.
Nope. And Andrew will start first.
Okay, I will start. So I have my phone open. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start the clock so no one can see me cheating or anything. And there I go. So Damien, mm-hmm. there is a movie out there.
Right.
In which we have an individual who has done someone something wrong. And his response to this is a very emotional response in which he entraps that person and asks him the same question, why did you do this, over and over again, to the point where he ends up using a shower hot and cold and all you hear is screaming and beating, and it is shot by Roger Deakins. That's all I'm going to give you, and I'm going to ask you, that's my pitch.
All
let's
right.
see whether that wins it or not.
Alright.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Douglas.
Shower hot and cold and beatings, alright? Is it Korean?
It is not Korean.
God damn it.
Wait, I should have said you're not allowed to ask questions.
Oh, right. That's true.
You just have to accept what we tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And of course, you can't lie. So, Douglas.
Stupid point.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm sorry, Andrew, but I'm about to beat you. And you're not going to like it. Damien.
Mm-hmm.
So, somebody from Korea.
Okay.
Watched Lars von Trier.
Okay.
In Antichrist. He said I could do better than that.
Oh.
And he did better than
mm-hmm.
that. So, yeah. And that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, that's this one isn't even close. I'm sorry, there's a Korean Antichrist. Well done, Douglas.
So Douglas wins it. Let's say what our movies are. I know.
Right,
what
yeah, you know
movies.
What mine is.
Wait. I need to record it.
I'm sorry, we're not playing any games here. We kind of half agreed not to do what I just did, but you just stole my movie.
But you can see why. Why I didn't want to do it that way.
Yeah. I know. You mean in terms of the persons?
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, there isn't just one person that Damien likes.
Right.
So you can always try and do some sort of one-upmanship.
Mm-hmm.
So I see where you're coming from, but I personally don't think...
We'll see how it goes weeks on. We'll see a couple of weeks in if we want to make the rules more strict.
Okay.
But we'll do our reveal now. Douglas, your movie that Damien has picked
is Korean Antichrist.
Yes, it is.
So that is all.
Yes,
I agree with him. That movie's amazing.
What is the name of
the
Korean
name
Antichrist?
It's Mobius. It is directed by somebody by the name of Kim Ki-duk, who you know.
Didn't we see the trailer for this?
No, we didn't.
I
mean,
the trailer has gone up, but it's like a bullshit trailer. Yeah,
oh, okay.
It's ridiculous.
Is this the same person that directed
No, no, that's a different movie.
Okay.
Spring, Summer, Winter.
Mm-hmm. No, I know who it is.
So
Douglas, you're saying he...
Let me give you, I agree, I saw Antichrist. Yes, it does.
Holy
let me give you a
shit.
Primer, right, of the real story.
Holy
right?
shit.
The primer is, there is a family in Korea
mm-hmm.
that is very dysfunctional, right?
That
the
is
husband,
redundant.
The husband, right, fair enough. The husband is cheating on the wife.
Mm-hmm.
The wife figures this out
mm-hmm.
and does not like
And is unamused.
It, right? So she figures, I'm going to get revenge. I am going to cut off my husband's member.
Of course.
She fails because apparently trying to do this when somebody is awake and realizes what is happening doesn't quite work out for
her.
It's
more difficult. Yeah,
right?
I could have told her that.
Okay. So instead she decides, you know what? Here's how I'm going to get him. I'm going to go in the other room and cut off my son's dick.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yes.
And she succeeds in this.
She succeeds.
Oh, of course.
and the movie just goes from there. And by the way, there are zero lines of dialogue.
2 hours. One of my favorite movies from
today. That movie was so good. It was difficult to watch, of course. But like,
I think the best part of it was having a big audience to watch it with. Yeah. And everyone laughing awkwardly at this movie because they didn't know what to do.
Yeah. Children. I was definitely moaning like all the way through. You're supposed to
smile.
The movie I pitched, sadly, I went a bit more mainstream. It actually came out this week in theaters, Prisoners.
Oh, okay.
The new film with Hugh Jackman and Paul Dano and... who's the other big person in there?
Prisoners? Jake Gyllenhaal. Hugh Jackman, Terrence Howard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a good movie, but I wanted to see if I could trick Damon into picking it.
Yeah, I keep hearing good things, but that movie just didn't look good in the trailer.
It's not bad, okay? It's not a bad movie in any way, but mm-hmm. it's a solid 3 movie.
Okay.
All right, so speaking of Korean movies... Our friend Andrew Robinson has hounded us for a good long while and said we need to watch Pietro.
Yeah, yeah. Which, by the way, mm-hmm. I did not know until fairly recently, is also directed by Kim Ki-duk.
Right.
Yes.
And Andrew's like, yo, dog, we need to watch this. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't.
Good. It is okay. In fact...
What?
If I use... It is a good... revenge-ish movie if you go by American standards. Use proper standards. It is okay. Leaning towards mediocre. Now, you'll watch it and you'll enjoy it. But Douglas,
think of let's, I
say,
saw the devil.
Let's say, in 20 minutes, you've worked out. Because we've seen so much. At least, in 20 minutes, I worked out.
No, yeah, we already work on it.
What is happening in this movie? And so for the entire time, I was there hoping, all right, they must know this. There will be a twist. Because it was going, like, everything I thought was, I was on the money for so long. I'm like, these guys are going to fuck with me at some point. And so what I spent maybe the last 20 minutes of the movie doing is trying to come up with ways how they were going to subvert what I thought was going to happen. And coming up with a lot of crazy shit. And then when the movie ended, I got, Damien, you just ruined this movie for yourself. Because you came up in those 20 minutes with far better movie. Like, Douglas hasn't seen... Like, I want to tell Andrew some of the things that I came up with. But because you haven't seen it, I don't want to...
I just like it because it's fucked up. Like, there are a lot of fucked up things in there.
It's not really, though. That is the problem.
Yeah. Like, we might have ruined that fucked up scale for ourselves, given some of the movies we watched.
Yeah, fine. But right. All right. So, again, by American standards, awful things happen in this movie. This is dreadful. But we've seen way worse. And I expected, like, another layer to the movie, and I was hoping that at the end they'd give me something to go, this movie, you know, like, that is how I enjoy at the end of Korean films, just going, I don't what is happening. Like, this country must be the worst country to live in.
You're like, maybe North Korea might not be that bad.
Yeah, I understand now why the North Koreans probably watch your movies and go, we're not letting anybody down there. Those guys are weird. Sure, Samsung makes good things, but keeping it all up here. Excellent. And guys, you realize you've just hyped this movie. Like, Korean Antichrist sounds like...
It's... No, I'm willing to get behind this movie.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. Yeah. So as soon as you can, Douglas, find a copy, which Douglas, I hope you can through Asia.
You
or whatever.
Just told me that there's a Korean Antichrist. How long do you think?
A Korean movie. And I probably shouldn't hype this up too much, but this is a Korean movie better than Antichrist.
Sure. I'll be the judge of that.
3 years. They do. Every day, after school.
on into our top five of the week. Which, linking back to Spring Breakers and my discussion of Britney Spears, I want us to list our top five musical moments in non-musical films.
All right.
I want to look at Damien and ask him whether he's going to talk to us at all during this segment.
No, I have. Okay, I have things.
All right, good.
I have things.
Some
of them are real obvious, but I do have things.
Of course.
Okay, so should I start? Should anyone else? All right, I guess I'll start. I'll start with what I think might be one of the most obvious picks, but it's a favorite scene of mine from one of my favorite movies. And it's Tiny Dancer singing in Almost Famous.
Okay.
Because it pops out of almost nowhere, but somehow, like, that scene just feels warm and huggy, and, like, you just feel happier that you're on that bus singing that song with that band of people. And I really love that movie, guys. I don't know if you guys like it as much as me.
No, I don't think we do. I don't think anybody likes that movie quite as much as you do.
You love it.
I do.
It's okay, but boy, Andrew.
You love it a lot.
I do. So, moving on.
All right. There's one that I saw recently, but absolutely adore. In This Is the End.
Oh, you're going to give that away.
Wait. No. Just calm down. I won't. When the movie ends, something magical happens.
Okay.
It is magical because they clearly grew up the same time period that we grew up. So they have an ironic / non-ironic appreciation for the shitty music that they picked to end that movie.
Okay.
And it is beautiful.
Okay.
I love that ending scene
so
much.
Ah, it's so good.
Like, when it happened, I was like, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to laugh or hate this. What's happening right now?
So dumb.
And we're not saying it because Douglas hasn't seen the movie.
Douglas has not seen the movie.
But for everyone who's seen that movie, listening to it, you know exactly what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the Douglas strategy remains. I am stealing from Andrew right now, I feel
what?
It.
I don't know how much you're stealing from me.
Yeah, I know. Well, you have a lot, but I'm sure I'm stealing one of, even if it's an outlier, I'm stealing something that's on your list. And so Quentin Tarantino likes music, right?
FYI, Tarantino didn't make the top five.
Wow.
No Tarantino movie moment made top five.
Wow.
Like, the people had to sing, right? There had to be the people on screen singing.
Well, you can interpret as best as you can, but I kind of wanted it like that for mine.
Okay.
Interesting. So,
wait, so can I just pick random music from movies?
Douglas seems to be doing that.
No, I don't. Or no, I'm not.
I fucked this list up.
So my music moment is a torture scene in a torture movie. It is Reservoir Dogs, Stuck in the Middle with You, starring Michael Madsen, the crazy dancer. That is a great moment. And it appears that I didn't have to pull it off so quickly, because it appears none of my co-hosts had it on their list.
Just remember
that scene
which I want to put in my list now.
Well, then put it in. You still have four more tries, Andrew.
Yes.
I'm trying to look at some. Anyways.
But yes, Michael Madsen dancing before he cuts off somebody's ear is just superb.
All right, I'll drop that one because I'm sure Douglas will have it anyways.
Okay.
My number four, I'm going to throw in right now. Bang Bang singing in The Brothers Bloom. There is a moment in that movie where you just cut to her, like, after all of the madness has happened, and she is in a karaoke bar and she's just singing this song, and I love it. Like, every time I hear it, like, I forget that scene is there. Every time I watch that movie, and when it comes up, I smile. It's like, we all love The Brothers Bloom. Like, that movie is just fantastic from top to bottom.
It's still
and
my
every
favorite
once
of his
in a
movies.
While, I try to rank Rian Johnson's movies, and I think it comes up number one more times
it's
than not.
It's still my favorite.
And
I love Lupo.
Yeah.
Let's be serious.
Yeah. I was thinking the other day, and I can't remember the last time I sat down to watch Brick. I need to sit down and rewatch that movie. But yeah, Bang Bang singing karaoke. That gets it. Number four.
Okay. 500 Days of Summer.
Okay. I thought somebody would put that on there.
he gets sex and he just walks out dancing.
Yes.
I remember.
He looks in the mirror and sees Han Solo. I love
I remember
moment.
When I used to do that. fun time, like yesterday.
Wow.
All right, that's it.
Okay, so there's this Coen Brothers movie.
What?
By the name of The Big Lebowski. It's not yours, I'm sure. Okay. there are very many crazy scenes in this movie.
There's only one you're allowed to pick from
that
movie.
I know. Very many dream sequences as well. But the one in particular that I'm thinking of starts off with Saddam Hussein and is narrated by Kenny Rogers. that movie is awesome, and that scene is just
fantastic.
I love
that song, Just Dropped In.
Yes, Just Dropped In to... to see what condition my condition is in. Oh my goodness. I actually said to Michelle, you know, this is Kenny Rogers the other day. And she's like, hey, what?
Hey, whoa.
Before he got into the... Well, that's kind of country-ish, but before he got full country.
Kenny Rogers wasn't into country at one time? I'm being
well,
sincere.
No. That song isn't exactly country.
Okay.
It's more electrified, and I would go more country and rock and roll rather than just country. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, so my number three is one scene which kind of pops out of nowhere in this movie, but it's really early. And we've never talked about this movie. I don't know if any of us like this movie, but this scene is amazing. And it's the Bohemian Rhapsody scene in Wayne's World. I
don't know if I've ever watched all of any of those movies.
Because, I mean, who doesn't love that Queen song?
Yeah, that Queen song is awesome.
When I was young and had the chance to watch those movies, I just saw both of those guys and went, nope. I've never seen any of those movies. I saw Lost on Powers movies, which
were awesome.
Oh, God.
One and three, guys. One and three. Good movies.
Let's just go with one.
Let's which one just was the second go. One again?
I don't remember.
The second one was atrocious. The third one was Goldfinger.
Yeah, I like Goldmember. That was nice.
Michael Caine just going like just fall down right now. I love that. But yeah, I like Wayne's World. I like Bohemian Rhapsody. I remember I was like looking through old things of Wayne's World, and in the sequel they have a scene where someone is giving like a speech about this girl that he keeps asking about, and then they kind of go like, "You're doing horrible in this scene," and chuck it out and bring in Burt Lancaster to do the reading of that scene, and just awesome. I like the humor in that movie. But yeah, Damien.
Deliverance.
I forgot about that one completely.
At the start of the movie, yeah.
That movie is so good.
Ah, so good.
So, again, I kind of bent this list, at least based on Andrew's kind of perception of it. Because I don't think any of my items actually have somebody singing. But I think what I'm going to talk about now is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Mm-hmm. So there's a song called Oh Yeah, which most people affectionately know as Chicka Chicka.
When you're please save that. Whenever Douglas calls me, I'm going to buy a smartphone tomorrow to ensure that whenever Douglas calls me, that is the one.
Are you going to just say the moment, or are you going to have the link?
No, that is just a loop of him doing that to no beat out of just that. Like, Damien, what the fuck is happening with your phone? Oh, that's Douglas.
That's Douglas calling.
Yeah.
He wants to know how far I am.
So there are a lot of musical moments in this movie, but the moment that I really love is in the beginning when you hear this song, and he's kind of sort of giving you a primer of what you are about to witness. And actually that song plays at a bunch of period and times, but I think that portion of it is just fantastic, and I love that movie to death.
So my number two comes from a film which I liked but I didn't love, but I can't give anything but adoration for this scene and this moment, and it's from Bolbear, the Pedro Almodovar film. You must have seen it, Damien. There's this one scene, and I can't remember the name of the song.
I think we talked about that movie
sings.
On
no,
this,
no, we haven't.
Okay.
I can't remember the name of the song, But there's a moment where, like, the whole thing about this movie is that Penelope Cruz, she kind of takes up this restaurant. And there's a moment where there's an evening, like the last evening of them doing this stuff, and they ask her to sing, and everyone tells us, hey, she used to sing, she's good at this, and she sings this song. And, like, I don't know, like, because it's movies, I can't really say for sure whether it's Cruz singing or if they dubbed it over with someone else, but whoever sings that song, it's kind of amazing. I really love that moment, and I think it might just be the Spanish guitar kind of working on me. I don't know. David almost made it. You almost made it through that moment. You almost did it.
God. All right. I'm back.
Oh, this is great. I love it when I can just make David.
I'm just the worst. Alright, number two is a fan favorite for all human beings on the planet. There's a song about people not having any worries.
And just being happy?
Nope.
No? Oh, okay. Sure. Mm-hmm. I love
that song. There's a pig. There's a lion. Andrew gets it.
Hakuna Matata. He's a pig. He's a warthog.
He's a pig. His name is Mr. Pig. That's like the greatest song that's ever been in a cartoon.
But that's a musical.
No, that movie is not a musical.
Let's be very clear. Lion
of course
King's
that movie is a musical.
There are music. There's songs in it.
That they sing.
Yes, but it is not a
over
musical.
And over again.
Negative.
It is not a, you just don't think it's a musical because you like
yes.
it.
Yes.
It is a musical.
Then all Disney cartoons are musicals.
Yeah, they are.
The Finding Nemo is not a musical.
Well, no, that's not. But that's also not a Disney cartoon.
Of course. Pixar owns them.
Aladdin is a musical.
Aladdin.
That's the Little Mermaid is a musical. Beauty and the Beast is a musical. All
no,
of those things
the
are
The Little
musical.
Mermaid is a musical because it's terrible. Aladdin is not a musical.
I just want to understand this whole system. Right. If you liked
Beauty
West
and
Side
the Beast
Story,
is not a musical.
If you liked West Side Story, mm-hmm. would West Side Story be a musical?
No.
Okay, I just make it sure I understand this system.
No.
All right. Douglas, I think it's time for your pick.
Wow.
They're cartoons. They're not musicals.
So
everybody knows that.
Anyway.
Clear distinction.
You are a crazy person.
Yes.
And we are now going to talk about Punch Drunk Love. This movie is amazing. Andre's like, where is music?
No, there's a lot of music.
Yeah, no, there
I'm
is.
I'm trying to think of like a scene that I would qualify. I'm yeah. trying to
well,
remember.
You probably wouldn't qualify it because, again, I took this to mean something else. I took this to mean music that was paired with the film that made an impact on me,
mm-hmm.
right? And at times it was maybe people almost singing.
All of There Will Be Blood Now.
Actually, that's an honorable mention in my list. So at the very end of this film, they play a song, actually sung by Robert, I believe it's Robert Duvall's daughter, Shelley Duvall. And that song is called, I've forgotten it already, He Needs Me. And that song is amazing.
Is that in the credits?
It's just before you get to the credits. It's like when everything.
I know the song. I've heard it because
yeah.
I have the soundtrack.
No, but it's when you see video. They are still seeing video. It's like right when kind of everything, the stars align and they're like, oh, everything worked out just the way we wanted it to. And just the visual way that happened. And even in the very end, it gets so cheesy, Andrew. They're kind of walking away from the camera. They start to hold hands. And then the camera kind of, you know how in like some cartoons, the whole picture kind of goes down and gets smaller until there's a circle of something specific that they want to show you. That happens at the end of this movie. And it's just marvelous. I love this movie to death. And that pairing of that song with those visuals is just amazing.
Okay. So now my number one, which I was almost... I couldn't believe you guys haven't picked, unless it's your number one yourselves,
mm-hmm.
Comes from Before Sunset. And it's the ending song.
Yes. I did not even remember that, but
because,
that is fantastic.
Because I mean, when you get to that moment where Celeste is calling Jesse and saying, I can sing you a song that I've been writing forever. Like, we know it's going to be something special.
Well, and the thing is, too, I love that she still tries to get out of it. She's like, okay, I could sing you a waltz. Let's not talk about that. Or I could sing you another song. Yeah. And he's like, nah, the waltz sounds good. And she's like, oh.
even see at that point where she's like, it's kind of rough, I don't know what I'm doing. When you were watching her sing that song, you can see how much she breaks down at that moment.
Yeah.
Where she's trying to be tough, she's trying to be like, this song isn't about you, Jesse. It isn't about you.
Exactly.
Jesse.
And you see how practiced she is with the song. She's like, I don't play this very often. Ooh, I got all of these chords like perfect and
there's
down
so
to
many,
the intonation.
Like, I can promise you guys that I've watched those movies less than I should have. But I've watched that scene at least like 50 times. Right, I will just go to YouTube and find that scene and just watch it. And I love even more what follows it when they're having the conversation and then she puts on this CD of this person. I can't remember
Nina
who it is.
Nina
Simone. And you see her kind of do this little shuck and jive.
Yeah.
She just has that look. Like, you know, like it gives you that moment which we love about these movies and I still haven't seen Before Midnight.
I have.
Where we're like, we have that optimistic / skeptical moment in ourselves where we're like, does he leave? Does he not? You can see that look where he's like, that guy should have fucking stayed. Right?
And in the trailer for the new movie, you're like, yes, he did stay.
And I adore that scene. I adore that song. I love it. And I'm still sad that I did not pick a John Hawk song for this list.
I didn't even think of that one too. Do you think you can buy one of his albums?
No. How would you find one?
Oh, that Damien literally won.
We were there.
One search.
I was there. Douglas is like, what? What the fuck is that you're talking about?
Damien, you're number one.
Did Google stop working in Trinidad? So now that you guys have saved me from my joke pick that was going to be number one, I'm just going to pick two of my most favorite recent songs in movies. One is from Drive. No, it's not the songs that they're thinking about. There's a scene where he's going to take revenge because they killed what's his face, and there's a song by Riz Orlani, "Oh My Love," and that song is
in the elevator.
It's when he was...
Oh, wait, I know exactly what you're talking about. Sorry. Yeah.
When he was running the guy off the road. Right. And I saw that and the song is tremendous and they had it. They had essentially the entire song in the movie. And the song is so out of place, but yet so perfect for the scene. And then, of course, Man From Nowhere, there is the final action scene. There is a song called Finding Tomorrow, Surviving Today, I think is the name of the song. And there's no music, there's no lyrics to the song. But it is as if someone sat down beforehand and went, we need a song to fit these things are going to happen in the scene, and we need the song to match up perfectly. And it did. Or they cut that movie to tie into the song. But those two are my absolute favorites for the last couple of years. My favorite song is from a movie that can't be on the list because it is straight up people singing the entire movie.
You mean like Lion King?
No. There is no singing at the start of Lion King and there is no singing at the end, so there is no singing.
Is anyone going to pick Jai Ho?
That's racist.
Oh,
you horrible
person. That's racist. Alright, anyway, my number one and
Spider-Man 3, we knew it.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody knew it.
Oh, jazz scene.
So, if Andrew thought I was bending the rules before, he'll probably tell me I'm breaking the rules. But for me, my number one had to be something special, right? Mm-hmm. So. This movie and this song and this pairing, just there are songs, right? And I've said this to Andrew before, because I think while we are away, and probably just generally, I'll hear a song and be like, that is Cape Fear. That is, you know, just the movie that it is to me. And that is how I feel about this pairing, because it's just used so well throughout the movie, and it's used kind of just to signify this sort of frustration and desperation and everything that is so wonderful in this movie. It's a Sonny and Cher song by the name of I Got You Babe.
Oh, yeah.
And this song is used at least 500 times in a movie by the name of Groundhog Day.
I remember. I was singing it to myself. I'm like, what movie? Oh, I got it.
Yeah. And I'm going to, while this is in a lot of scenes, and it really signifies, it's kind of your indicator that he's waking up and starting the same day yet again. And I could, you know, just talk about throughout the whole movie, but I think the scene that I'll just latch on to, because I need a scene to at least try and abide by Andrew's rules. And also, it's a great use of the song in the context of the movie, is actually the final scene. When they actually use it, and as anybody watching the movie the first time around probably doesn't quite get the nuance, but you hear the song and he wakes up and you're just like, shit, it's the same day again. And then you realize slowly but surely, I think there's somebody beside him. That doesn't usually happen. And then if you really think back, you're like, hold on, the song didn't actually start in the same spot, did it? And then the guys who I actually almost the hosts of that morning show, I almost lump in with the song as well, like a part of that audio visual stimulation and excitement. All of a sudden you realize they're actually not saying what you're used to them saying. They're actually talking about playing it again a second time. And that just, while I know some people, and I think Andrew might be one of them, don't really like this movie.
I like this movie. You know, okay. I turned off. Like, I for some reason, I didn't like it when I was younger.
Yeah.
But, like, as I eventually went back to it, I fell in love.
Yeah, yeah. I adore this movie. And it's, I know it is what it is. It's not, you know, an indie art house or some sort of big budget thriller. It's just what it is, and it's wonderful. And that just use of that song and those audio cues, just marvelous.
Groundhog Day to me is probably the most perfect film you can find, because it plays to almost every market, in the fact that nobody who watches that film cannot find something to love. Yeah. Like, even when I watch that movie, I can put so many things in there that someone who is just like a casual film watcher will watch and be like, oh, I just like the comedy of Bill Murray falling over himself every day. I like, when I watched that movie recently, I literally just thought of it as the modern day version of that famous, why can't I remember the name right now?
Source Code?
No. of the famous I hate this moment right now. It's the famous Christmas movie that people supposedly watch like every Christmas Eve.
Oh, you mean
It's a Wonderful Life.
There you go.
I consider it like a modern It's a Wonderful Life, and I love it for that.
I'm just going to let you know, there's people who don't like that movie.
I hate them.
Okay. They're Jamaican, so of course they do.
Anyways,
it's a weird top five. Because I don't, like, even sitting, like, it's weird to type that into Google, right? Or movies with songs in them. Oh, of course.
Yeah. And then Damien's Nexus will forever bring up musicals for him to watch.
Google just goes, don't waste my time. Find something to search for. Let's not do this.
Does anyone have any honorable mentions they want to throw out that they didn't mention?
I already said Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, well, you spoke about,
I have a long list.
Yeah, you spoke about There Will Be Blood. I definitely had an honorable mention in The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou.
Oh,
love that movie.
And that introduced us
Sue George.
Sue George.
Yeah, who is just great.
Most Wes Anderson movies we could pick
Thank
something
you.
From.
Yeah, that too. Like,
there are directors who we can do that with.
Yeah, like Martin Scorsese is one. Mm-hmm. He picks great music for his movies. Quentin Tarantino, I don't want to say because it's he's kind of like choice. Kanye West. I like the things that he does, but he's such an asshole that I kind of don't want to give him the credit for it.
No. Quentin Tarantino has a direction. Kanye West is not.
I have Ferris Bueller. I took Don Quixote instead of... What do you... What do you call it exactly?
Chica-chica.
Okay. I have the keyboard dance scene from Big.
Yes, that's like, a fun scene.
I considered
scene.
That. That's a fun scene. I have Sparkle Motion from Donnie Darko.
Okay.
there's the infamous Tom Cruise scene in Tropic Thunder,
mm-hmm.
Which I love.
Yeah.
I also have Blue Valentine, You Always Hurt the One You Love, which we all like.
I love is that the song that he sings?
Yeah, that's the song he sings.
That is great.
And of course, one of my favorites, which I haven't seen in forever, Oh Brother, Where Art You?
Where Art Thou?
Yeah. When they
but
sing
a musical.
The Man of Constant Sorrow. and of course, that probably would have topped out my five, but I didn't want to mention Any Day Came from the Godfather.
Listen
the song that the mother sings at the wedding.
Let's be serious now.
No.
That's not a good song.
I mean, it's just something to bring you into the movie.
Yeah,
that's not like a great. I wouldn't call that a great musical moment. Or if it's a good musical moment because it's a good moment for the movie, but there are millions, billions of musical moments better than that
literally
one.
Anyone else. All the shitty dubstep in this movie that we review.
Yeah. You have anything to add, Damon, other than Spider-Man 3? No.
Well, could we mention Soul Glow from Coming
to Congratulations, Douglas, you won tonight. Douglas is the victor. Tip my hat to you. You are a dumb person.
Sorry, guys, that's call the show at that point. Thanks so much for listening. As usual, you can hear the show over on Gman Reviews or through iTunes and Stitcher. Damien, you're nowhere to be found. Douglas, your DJ, I lost his name on Twitter.
You can find me on Google Plus.
Yes, yes.
Hey guys, remember Google
at Gman Reviews. We're going to be working very hard for the next 340 something days to get Damien to TIFF.
Sure. Certainly won't be choosing school over it this time. Fuck that.
Thanks and good night.
All right, this is an oldie, but well, it's an oldie where I come from. All right, guys, listen, this is a blues riff from B. Watch me for the changes and try and keep up, okay?